Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi, Baba Basra Kuf Tes. We're holding four lines off the top of the Amud. Right in the middle of a discussion, which is actually a narration of a Braisa, which is seeking to find the source that a father is entitled to be Yoirish, to inherit his sons, his own sons' estate upon his passing. So if there are no offspring, the son himself has no kids, the Yerusha goes to the father. So number one, how do we know that a father is Yoirish? Because if we look at the Psukim, we find everybody else mentioned, son, daughter, brother, uncle, but not father. But we do have the words, L'she'eroi ha'koroi v'eloiv. So what is She'eroi? Close of kin, close relative. She'eroi is lush in the flesh of basar, of a real close relative. That's the father. In fact, we have a pasuk, Rashbam brought it yesterday. She'eroi v'chahu. That's a reference to a father being yerush to son. So we know that's a fact, but where is he placed in the sequence of priority? Where is he on the list of yerushim? So we have son, daughter, uncle, right? Brother, father, where does he go? So the Gemara told us, we place him right behind son and daughter. First comes son, then comes daughter, then comes father, then comes, you know, the brothers of the mace, and then comes his uncles, meaning the father's brothers. Okay, so we know that son is first, because he takes over his father regarding other halachas as well. We learned this yesterday, Yud, etc. So we know son is the closest, and he should go first. So he's first in line. But then comes daughter. Ask the Gemara, how do we know? Ve'ema, let's propose as follows, that father should come right behind the son and before the daughter. Ve'ema she'eroi, in fact, that's the father, Zeha'av. So we know that the father is Yerush, but at what point in the order? Melamed she'av koidim lebas. Perhaps he precedes the daughter. Yochol yagdim leben. Perhaps he comes before the son. No, tamalai mar hakariv. The word hakariv tells you, you got to work with logic. The closest one comes first. So the closer the relationship, the further up on the hierarchy of Yerusha you are. Karoiv, karoiv, koidim. And as we learned yesterday, right, a son and a father, we find many similarities. We find, for instance, regarding Yehud, right, that the son takes over. If the father purchased a maidservant, he can then turn around and marry her using that same purchase money, and the son can do the same. So that's something which is a unique privilege to one's son. And we know that since regarding that halacha, he takes over, he's sort of a continuity of the father, he's a continuation. So regarding Yerusha, we assume that he's the first on the list. Okay, so, you know, that's one thing. Then we have Sadei Achuza, right? The fact that he redeems the father's Hegdish, so there are special halachas because he's the son. So regarding many halachas, we find that there is a sort of a carryover. Okay, so the son is number one. But what about father? Perhaps he's number two before daughter. Answers the Gemara, no, you can't suggest that father precedes daughter. Kivan delinyan yibum, because we find regarding yibum, ben ubaski adadininu. If one passes away childless, his wife is bound to the brother for yibum. But if there are any children, any offspring, son or daughter, so we find that son and daughter are sort of on the same level in this case, they eliminate the need for yibum. Ben ubaski adadininu. They both play the same role. They're both deemed a hemshech, a carryover of their father, which eliminates the need for yibum. Right? So apparently both son and daughter have that ability to carry over and continue sort of their father's, you know, existence, and therefore linya nachla nami, right, regarding their entitlement to Yerusha, we assume they're both on the same plane, Bein, Ubas, Gadol, Dininu, and therefore, if son has priority over father, so does daughter. So now we know that when one passes on, first comes the son, then comes daughter, and only afterwards the departed fellow's father, if, you know, in the absence of his own offspring. Okay, says the Gemara further, let's perhaps speculate that in fact Sheiro is the father, but he will go after the brothers of the mace. So perhaps father goes as number four. First comes son, daughter, brothers, and if none of those exist, comes father. So instead of being number three, behind son and daughter, perhaps he's number four. Malamad she'av koidim la'achiyav. He comes before his brothers, you know, the uncles of the mace. Okay, that makes sense, right? He comes before them. So they're number five. Yochel yaktim la'achin. Who says he will come before the brothers of the mace? Tamad leimar. Ha'korev, korev, korev, koidim. We'll learn from ha'korev. The closer the relationship you have with the mace, the closer you are to the Yerusha. So who says father is number three? Perhaps he's number four behind the brothers of the mace. Answers the Gemara, no, it's impossible to suggest as such. You know why? Because basically, according to this, father only precedes the uncles. Who are the uncles? Who are the uncles of the mace? So let's say Reuven was the mace. His father's Yaakov, right? So Yaakov comes before Yaakov's brothers. Obviously, they're only connected to the Reuven because of him, because of Yaakov. He's sort of the conduit to carry over the inheritance of his own son to his brothers. Well, if he's around, of course he takes priority. That only makes sense, right? So there's no need for a pasuk to tell us that Achi Av come after the Av. If that's the only reason that the pasuk says HaKarev Karev Kaidim, if that's the only reason why the pasuk which says that if they're the only ones, then they go, you know, then they're Yerush, meaning they're last. Well, obviously, if the one before them is a father, obviously the father comes before his own brothers, because he's the conduit for their Yerusha. Right? The pasuk does not have to teach us that She'ere, which is the father, comes before the uncles. Obviously. So as the Gemara Achia Av, to tell us that the uncles come after the father, they don't need a pasuk for that. Why? Achia Av. The brothers of this father. Who are they getting Yerusha from? How are they accessing their nephew's Yerusha? Who's the conduit for it? Mikayach man ka'osu. Where are they coming from? Mikayach Av? Through the father of the mace. He's the conduit. Right? If he's not around, they get it. So now think about it. Koy Av. Suppose the father is here. Koyarsi Achia Av. How could you suggest that the uncles get before him? So that leads us to the conclusion that when a father is Yerush, and he's meant to be Yerush before somebody, it's got to be before the brothers of the mace. So, in fact, we allow the father to be number three. Right? Because the Pesukim are telling us that we go in order. No sons, no son, we go to the daughter. No daughter, to the brothers. No brothers, uncles. And She'eroi is the father. The question is where to insert She'eroi, because we learned yesterday that the Pesukim are out of order. Karev tells us that you're meant to go according to the closeness, the elements of closeness found in these respective relatives. And that's how you sort of sequence them in the hierarchy of Yerusha. And at the pasuk, as we learn the pasuk, in the drasha here, that She'er is the father, and She'er is meant to come before somebody. It can't be that it's coming before the uncles. That's obvious. Apparently, it's coming before the brothers. And the sequence is like this: fellow dies, first comes son. There's no son, comes daughter. Otherwise, father. Otherwise, brothers of the departed. And then, only then, come the uncles. Ask the Gemara, V'akroi lavachiksivi. How could you say that She'eroi, which is the father, comes as number four? She'eroi, the word She'eroi is actually mentioned all the way at the end, after the uncles. V'akroi lavachiksivi, the psukim aren't really arranged this way. The chsivi mean achim la'aviv, etc., etc. And then comes She'eroi at the end. As is the Gemara, Kroi, the psukim apparently, Shalai Kisirim Ksivi, are written out of order, because if you look at the psukim, you have son, daughter, brother, uncle, and then She'eroi, who's father, who's the father. Obviously, father cannot follow the uncles, as we said before. He certainly deserves to get it before the uncles. So it's clear that the psukim are out of order. We have to rearrange it based on the closeness factors. So bottom line, according to this approach, this is the Braisa, we find the source that a father is Yerush from She'eroi. She'eroi is the father. Where is he placed in the sequence? First comes son, because he's the closest. He takes over his father in Yud and Sadeh Achuzah. Then comes the daughter, because regarding Yibam, she has that advantage as well. And then comes the father. Then comes the brothers. Then comes the uncles. Darash Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yisi. We have another alternate route, another different source from another Bryce. For a source to a father's Yerusha from his son. And according to this Bryce, the Psukim are in order. We're not learning from She'eroi. Rather, we have another indication in the Pasuk that a father is Yerush, and where exactly we want to place him. Behind the daughter. Son, daughter, and then father. Ish ki yomos ubein eloi. Fellow passes away, there's no son. The pasuk continues, v'ha'avartim, and transfer, there's no son, transfer, meaning it almost sounds like there's somebody there to waiting to take it, no, keep it away from him, give it to the daughter. V'ha'avartim is nachlos elabitek. Who's that unidentified person? Who's that Mr. X? That's the father. And there's a daughter. Daughter goes first. But otherwise, in the absence of a son or daughter, father goes next. So clearly, father is number three. So it's pretty much just as before, but from a different source. When there's a daughter available, we remove it. We disenfranchise, so to speak, the father, and we give it to the daughter. But otherwise, in absence of a son and daughter, even if there are brothers around, we don't take it from the father, when there are brothers here. So basically, father precedes the brothers. So it's son, daughter, father, brothers. Ask the Gemara, how do we know? How do you know that a father goes before brothers, but after the daughter? Perhaps he goes only after the son and before the daughter. Perhaps he's number two. And perhaps, which sounds like you're taking it away from somebody and preferring the daughter, is not a reference to the father. No, father precedes the daughter. We're taking it away from the brothers, who are potential heirs. Daughter goes before the brothers, but perhaps father? He goes as number two. It goes son, father, then daughter. If Emma, perhaps we can propose differently. When there's a daughter available, we keep it from the brothers and give it to the daughter. But relative to the father, perhaps father takes priority. Perhaps you can't keep it from the father of the maize, even when there's a daughter here. Says the Gemara, that can't be the meaning of the pasuk, that the pasuk is simply telling us that daughter comes before brothers. It came because if it was only for that purpose, there's no need for the word vavartim, because the pasuk already clearly say that daughter comes before the brothers. You don't need the word vavartim. Just say there's no son, there's a daughter. There's no daughter, goes to the brother. Why vavartim? Apparently, it's alluding to somebody else as well, father. Even when father is present, she gets before the father. So, in conclusion, we have two sort of approaches to the drashas, to the psukim, in terms of where we find that a father is Yerush, his son, and also where to place him on the list. According to the first braisa, it was based on She'eroi. She'eroi is the father, and we worked it out that he goes as number three. According to the second pasuk, Vahavartem. Keep it from the father and give it to the daughter. But right afterwards, he's entitled. He's number three. Ask the Gemara Lamanda Nafkalima Vavartim. According to the second Brisa, that it's based on Vavartim, what does he do with She'eroi, which is an extra Lashon? Who's that person? Hi She'eroi Mayavidle. Mibayle, the Sanya is coming to teach us a different halacha altogether. That a husband inherits his wife. She'er zu ishtoi. Like Rashi brings, Rashbam, v'hoi lo basar echad. Right? So the husband and wife fuse into one flesh through having offspring. And there's another pasuk, she'er oksusa v'aynasa, spending physical time together. So we see she'er is a reference to a wife. We learn from him, alamed, sha'bal yorish es ishtoi. A husband inherits his wife. Rashi brings his Rashbam, that there's a whole Gemara later that works it out, v'nasata mesnachla she'er eloi, that we have a whole drasha, that he's Yerush's wife. Okay, so basically, that's going to be the application for this pasuk. Ulamad anafkla mesh'eroi. Now, conversely, the other shita, the first brisa, who learned she'er to the father, right? So if she'er is a reference to the father, what does he do with v'avartem, which was used by the second brisa? Hai v'avartem ha'yavadlem. Because boy, look, the son is coming to teach us a different halacha. As follows, Klisani, Rabbi Omer, Bekulon, Nemar Behen Nesina. If you look around the Psukim, by all the other relatives, it says Nesina. Right? So you give it to the brother, you give it to the father. Actually, father, it's not a clear pasuk, but uncles, whatever. Vikan, but over here, what's over here? When it comes to a daughter inheriting her father, there's a different phrase, a different term. Instead of Nesina, Nemar Behen Ha'avara. We have a havartem. It gets transferred. Why? Why the change in expression? You know why? Because a daughter who inherits her father, it triggers a unique process where it could actually result in the estate being transferred to a totally different tribe, a different shevet. Suppose she inherits her father from shevet Reuven, and then she marries. And her own husband or son is yerish her, and her husband and son identify with a different shevet, right? Because Shvatim relate to the father's family. So in effect, she has sort of caused a transfer from one shevet to the other. And that's what we learn from this pasuk. We learn that a father, a son is Yerusha, his mother. That's what we learn from this pasuk. And that's why it's called Havara, because it can result in being transferred to a different shevet. So again, Rabbi Yomi Bekulon, regarding all the other Yerushim, Nemar Behen Nesina, we have a lashon of give it, granted. Vikan, by the daughter, the term changes. Nemar Behen Havara, we discuss Havara. Why? Why transfer? Because this is unique to a daughter, She'enacham Shemaver. We don't find elsewhere a situation where there'll be a transfer. Shemaver, Nachal Meshevet Leshevet. None of the other relatives have this phenomenon that they transfer from one shevet to the other, Ella, except for Bas, except for a daughter. Because when she takes possession and then marries, it can easily get transferred to a different shevet, the shevet of her son, of her husband. Hoylu b'no, since her son, Ubalo, or her husband, Yerush Nois, inheritor. And Rashbam explains that this is a source that a son is Yerush's mother. And that's why it's called Havar, because it is, resulting transfer. Now let's go back to Brisa number one. That She'era is a reference to the father. What do we find that this term relates to the father? Tachsiv She'era Vichahu. So in the Pasha of Arayis, we have She'era Vichah. Ask the Gemara, but we find that same term by a mother. Ema She'era Zeha'im. She'era could also be the mother. Zuha'im, Tachsiv She'era Imchahi. So perhaps both father and mother are Yerush a child. Answers the Gemara, no. Amar Rava Amakro, because the pasuk continues. It says, "L'she'eroi ha'karev eloi mimishpachtoi," from his family. And the true family, in terms of yichus, in terms of identity, is the father's family. Mishpachas av kriya mishpacha. Only the father's family is titled mishpacha. Mishpachas eim eina kriya mishpacha, as opposed to the mother's family. Tachsiv, as we find in the other psukim, right? The mishpachosim beisavosim. So mishpacha is unique to the father's side. Here as well, the She'eroi, HaKarev Elav, Mishpachtoi, She'eroi, who is Yerush, a son, She'eroi here is unique to the father. Ask the Gemara, really, Mishpachas Eim Enokri Mishpachot, do you mean that one does not identify? He's not labeled as per his mother's family? Listen to this pasuk, we have a pasuk by Pesel Micha. Micha made this idol, and it says he had an attendant, this youngster showed up in Beis Lechem, Yehuda, Mimeshpachas Yehuda, he came from the Yehuda family, seems like from Shevet Yehuda, right? Vu Levi, he was also a Levi. Now how could that be? Either he's from Shevet Levi or he's from Yehuda. We'll see in a minute. How do we understand this pasuk? How could he have a double identity? Amrus bu Levi. First you call him a Levi. Amo mi Levi Asi. Apparently he hails from Shevet Levi. And then you call him Mimishbachas Yehuda. Amo mi Yehuda Asi. He hails from Shevet Yehuda. How could one have two identities? Oh, apparently mother and father. Elolava must be Davo mi Levi. Although his father hails from Levi. That's his Yichus. That's his Shevet. Vimim Yehuda. But his mother comes from Yehuda. And therefore become Mimishbachas Yehuda. And that's why the pasuk identifies him as from Yehuda. Apparently even mother's family plays a role in terms of establishing his identity. In contrast to what we said, that it's unique to father. Amar Rava bar Rav Chana. No. It's incorrect. Loi. Gavra d'shmei Levi. Although the pasuk relates him as a Levi, he wasn't really a Levi. He was called Levi, but he was really from Shevet Yehuda, as per his father's family. Ask the Gemara if that's the case, that he wasn't really a Levi from Shevet Levi, he was merely called Levi. So why was Micha so excited? Oh, Min HaShemayim, I got a Levi to come serve me. Wow, unbelievable. Yachi, if that's the case, Hayu Dogamar Micha, why was Micha exclaiming with excitement, Ata Yadata, Yadata, Yikiyetiv Li Hashem. Now that Hashem, I know that Hashem is on my side. Ki Hayu Li HaLevi, because I found a fellow from Shevet Levi, L'Koyin, to serve as a priest in my, if he was just called Levi, what's the big deal? And says the Gemara still, he still felt comforted by the fact that he was called Levi. In this Ramalei Gavadish made Levi, this fellow was called Levi, that was his name, and still, because of the symbolic weight involved, the fact that he was called a Levi, that got him all excited, because it relates to Shevet Levi, in a loose way. Ask the Gemara b'chi Levi Shemai, but furthermore, how could we suggest that he wasn't really a Levi, he was only called Levi? Well, Yehoinasan Shemai, really his name was Yehoinasan, as we find in the other pasuk, Shnam of Yehoinasan, who was the son of Ben Gershom, who was the son of Moshe Rabbeinu, Ben Menashe. It says Menashe, but really it was Moshe. Rashbam says the Nun is not on the same level as the other letters. It's sort of hanging. We'll see in a minute why. But really he was a grandson of Moshe, who was obviously a Levi, right? The son of Amram. Who, Banav Hayu Kayhanu L'Shevet Adoni, they served with their descendants by this unfortunate thing, right? This Avodah Zarah. So, apparently, first of all, his name is not Menashe. His name is not Levi. His name is Yehoinasan. And also, he was from Shevet Levi. Says the Gemara, Amar Leisa, he answered him, V'litamecha, according to you. Why do we even mention Menashe? V'chim ben Menashe hu? Why is he ben Menashe? V'loi ben Moshe hu? To be Moshe, the chsiv. Right, Gershom was one of Moshe Rabbeinu's sons, Gershom and Eliezer. Right, Chsiv Bnei Moshe, Gershom Eliezer. So why even mention Menashe? How does that come in? Ella, rather, it's a sort of a point of reference. It's a descriptive term. Ella Matosha Asa Masa Menashe. Since he acted like Menashe, Menashe the son of Chizkia, Melech of Yehuda, who did Avodah Zarah. So, because he sort of followed that lifestyle, Talay HaKasav of Menashe, we attribute him to Menashe. His true name was Moshe Rabbeinu, but we switched it to Menashe because of that association. So that explains why it's Menashe. HaChanami here as well. For the same reason, we attribute him to Yehuda. Even though he hails from Shevet Levi, Matayach She'osam Masa Menashe, the Osam Yehuda, because he acted like Menashe, who is a chief, promoter of Avodah Zarah, who hails from Shevet Yehuda, Dasim Yehuda. Here as well, this fellow was given the label Mishpachas Yehuda. Tolei HaKasav Yehuda, we sort of associate him with Yehuda. So that answers our question. Really, only father's family provides one with true identity. He's labeled based on his father's family. His lineage, his yichus, is rooted in his father's family. And this fellow was really a Levi. Granted, Moshe Rabbeinu was a Levi. But the reference to Yehuda was simply sort of a negative association because of the behavior that he adopted, which was reminiscent of Menashe. Amar Rabbi Yechonon Meshum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. We learn an amazing thing. Malamet Mikan She Teilenus Al Kol Kolah B'Mekulcha. We attribute evil acts to an evil person. We associate it with him. He's sort of the conduit for bad. That's why we nicknamed him Menashe and all that. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Chanina, Amar Mehoch, we have another source to this idea that we attribute evil to people that are evil. We have this pasuk describing the fellow by the name of Adonia, who rebelled against the king. It says, "Vegamu toiv toyer ma'od ba'isa yolda," and she gave birth to him, Tadonia, achri Avshalom, after Avshalom, which sounds like he and Avshalom share the same mother, which is untrue. Valoi, Adonia was ben Chagis, that was his mother's name, Avshalom was ben of Ma'acha. So why does it sound like they both have this? Why do we connect these two individuals? Ela matech she'asa ma'asa Avshalom, rather. It's in terms of behavior, since he went in the footsteps of Avshalom. He acted like him. Demar d'malchus, who rebelled against David HaMelech, Tolei HaKasav b'Avshalom, likewise, Adonia was attributed to Avshalom because of the similarity in terms of behavior. Hachanamiya as well, regarding the previous story, Metech she'asa ma'asa Menashe, Tolei HaKasav b'Menashe, since his activities were reminiscent of Menashe, he is attributed to Menashe. Amar b'Lazar, lo'olam yidbak adam b'tayvim, person should take care to marry only into a good family, because it can affect his offspring. Sharei, because we see Moshe, who married whom? Shanasa Bas Yisrael, he married Bas Yisrael, right? It had a negative effect on his offspring. Yotzim imenu Yehoinasan, look, his grandson, Yehoinasan, who got involved with the Pesel Micha. As opposed to Aaron HaKohen, Shanasa Bas Aminadav, he married the daughter of the Tzadik Aminadav. He was Zoicha to Yotzim Menu Pinchas. He had a grandson, Pinchas, who was a Kohen Gadol. So we see that it has an effect. Really, you Pinchas love Yisrael Yosef? Do you mean to say that Pinchas was free of any questionable sources? He didn't come from Yisrael? Love Yisrael Yosef, Oksib, we have a pasuk. Elazar ben Aaron. So although Aaron HaKohen himself married from great stock, but Elazar's own son, Lakach Lai Mibnais Putiel Lai Lishe, took from Putiel's daughters as a wife. Who's Putiel? We'll assume Putiel is Yisrael. My love, the Asim Yisrael, came from Yisrael, Shepitaim. Right? Mibnais Yisrael, Shepitaim, Agolam Avid Zara. He's called Putiel because he used to stuff calves and offer them to the Avid Zara. So apparently Elazar married the daughter of Yisrael, and he had a son, Pinchas, great son. Apparently, he remains unaffected by his stock. Lo, it's incorrect. Also, Yosef, he married from Yosef's daughters. Shepit bet b'Yisrael. Why is he called Patiel? Because he utterly disregarded his Yetzirah when he was challenged at that time with the Nisayin of the wife of Potiphar. So it's unrelated to Yisrael; rather, it's to Yosef. Really? Pinchas did not hail from Yisrael. We have the story where he killed Zimri, right? The Nasi of the Shevet and the other Shvatim were shaming him. They would say, Re'isim ben Puti Zel, take a look at this, ben Puti. What right does he have to get involved here and kill a tzaddik? Ben Shepitim, he's a son of Shepitim Avi Imoi, Agodim Avi Dezara, who's his own grandfather. Prepare the offerings to Avi Dezara, meaning Yisrael. Yaharig Nasi Shevet Yisrael, he's going to go and have the audacity to kill the head of a tribe of Yisrael. His own stock is impure. His own DNA is tainted. Apparently, he didn't mean L'shem Shemaim. He had ulterior motives. That's how they were chanting. Clearly, Pinchas did in fact come from Yisrael. Answers the Gemara, you're right. Somewhere up there, he came from Yisrael, but he wasn't actually a grandson. He was closer to Yosef than to Yisrael. He came from both. His mother's side, from his right, but he was further away. Let's say he was a fourth or fifth generation from Yisrael, so it had a lesser effect on him than Yosef HaTzadik, who he was closer to, who was his grandfather. Ella rather, Yavod Ime Yosef, either or. Either Avod Ime, the father of his mother, comes from Yosef, so he's a grandson. Ima the Ime Yisrael, his mother's mother comes from Yisrael, but Rashbam points out that's not just mother's mother, it's further up as well, like a fourth, fifth generation. So he was further from Yisrael, therefore unaffected by Yisrael. Rather, he identified more with Yosef and was positively impacted by Yosef. Iyavod imei miYisrael. Alternatively, you can say the father of his mother was from Yisrael. Again, not directly, a couple of generations removed. And imod imei miYosef, his mother's mother from Yosef. The Kanami will prove from the pasuk itself that he had sort of this double source. He was rooted in Yosef and Yisrael. Elazar took from Bnei's Putiel, the extra yud indicates plurality. It came from different putis. So it's sort of has a loaded meaning, a double meaning. Tarti. Putiel can either mean Yisrei, who stuffed the calves and prepared them for the Avodah Zarah, and also Yosef, who's Mefat b'Yisrei. So in fact, he came from both, but as we explained, he was closer to Yosef, and a couple of generations removed from Yisrei, and therefore he was unaffected by Yisrei. Shema Mina, that's the conclusion, and proves our point. Okay, so we learned about a father entitled to the Yerusha of his son. It's either through She'erai, which is the father, as we find in other psukim, that She'erai is the father. She'erai mi'mishpachtai, mishpachas av is kari mishpacha. So we know the father is Yerush. According to the second approach, it's from Vavartem, which means daughter precedes father, but then it's immediately followed by father. So we know that father is number three. Person dies, first comes son. No son comes daughter, otherwise father, then brothers, then uncles. We learned about toilenes akalkol b'makulkol. We learned about lo ilam yidbak adam b'toivim, as we find by Elazar, who married into Aaron, who married Bas Aminadav, and was zeicha to a son, a tzaddik like Pinchas. All the best to you, and atzlacha rabba.